Let's pray. Father God, we pray that this morning that you would come in power by your Holy Spirit, that the words that I would speak would be anointed by your grace. And I pray that we would be inspired to keep on going in the faith because of what you've done at Calvary on the cross. So bless us now, for we ask it in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. As I was writing this sermon this week, I was reflecting back on my school days, and I know that this will be a surprise to many of you. I was often the class clown, and you're laughing because it's not a surprise, but often teachers would have presented me in class with two options, one of which was usually a warning. So it would have went a wee bit like this. I'm sure these weren't their exact words, but it was basically, you know, Lucy, if you don't wise up, you know, if you wise up, you can stay in class. And basically, if you don't wise up, then you're going to get kicked out of class, and it will send you to the principal's office. And obviously, I chose to be kicked out of class and I go to the principal's office because that was much more fun than being in class. Obviously, at that time, I've come a long way, folks. But I was reminded of that this week, and I share that with you this morning, because often when we ignore a warning that has been given to us, or when we make a wrong choice, then there are consequences to our actions. And in our text this morning, we are going to be thinking about this idea of warning and choice and also wrong actions, particularly for the people of Israel in relation to a warning that they had been given by the Lord about a choice that they were about to make. Now, last week we were in the book of Samuel, and we'll be finishing this Old Testament challenge in the book of Samuel this morning. And in the context of what is going on in the passage that Gordon read to us this morning, the people of Israel are at a point where they've decided that they want a king. Okay? That's where we're at in the text. So the people of Israel want the king, but the Lord has said to them that basically this isn't the right way to go. The Lord warns them that there will be consequences if they choose to serve the wrong king. Because ultimately what we choose to serve in our lives will eventually rule us. So we have to choose wisely. You know, all of us are ruled by something. For some, it could be money or power or influence or whatever, an addiction. But the danger is when we take God off the throne of our hearts, we will let our lives be ruled by other gods. So if we take God off the throne of our hearts, we will let our lives be ruled by other gods. You see, you and I were actually created in the image of God. We were designed to serve him. But when we reject him and remove him as the ruler of our lives, we will inevitably replace him with something else. And that's basically what we see happening in this text this morning. Now, you'll be glad to know I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it is a bit long for this morning, but I'm going to pick out a few key ideas which will be helpful for us to think about this morning. And I want us to think about how important it is for us not to reject the kingship of Christ in our lives. Now, to help us with that, what we might need to do is get the wrong things off the throne of our lives in order that we can have the right things on the throne of our hearts. Do you get that? We need to get rid of the wrong things off the throne of our lives so that we can have the right things on the throne of our hearts. And we'll be thinking a wee bit more about this morning as we walk through this sermon. And this morning I want to just very simply begin with the request. What is Israel's request? So what did Israel ask from the Lord? Very simply, they demanded a king. Now, it's probably not a terrible thing that they demanded a king or asked for a king, but it has much more to do with their motives and where their heart is, why they asked for a king. We'll read in verses 4 and 6 in 1 Samuel. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. So basically what's happening here is that Samuel is getting old, he's getting on, and he's appointed his two sons as judges over the people of Israel. And a bit like Eli's sons last week, they were disastrous. They were abusing privileges, they were abusing power, and they weren't leading the people of God very well. And so the elders basically say, Samuel, your sons aren't doing what they are supposed to do. They are not leading us very well, and so we want you now to appoint us a king. Like I said a moment ago, it's not a terrible thing that they wanted a king. It's actually more to do with their heart's motives because they're not in line with Christ. They desired the wrong kind of king for their lives. These people in Israel at that time, they did not want to wait on the king that had been promised to them and talked about and prophesied about back in the book of Deuteronomy. A king that would bring freedom, a king that would be the Lord's representative. They don't care. They just want the king right now. And as I thought about that this week, I think what the passage very clearly highlights for Israel is that they would rather have the wrong king now rather than wait for the right king later. They would rather have the wrong king now than wait for the right king later. And the same actually might be true for our own lives. We are happy to have the wrong king in our lives now rather than wait for the right king later. Israel wanted a king in place of God. And it's obvious why. Verse 5 tells us, now appoint a king to lead us such as all the other nations have. They request a king because everybody else had one. For them, they were looking at their situations and thinking, well, everybody else seemed to have one, so why can't we? Why are we any different? They wanted to be like everybody else. And I wonder this morning, where are the pressures in your life to be like everybody else? We live in such a society where there's pressure all the time to conform to a particular way of living. And as I thought about that this week, I came across a story by, you know, the great evangelist, Billy Graham. Well, he used to share a story with his parishioners and people that he met and probably at conferences where he spoke up. And basically, Billy Graham used to share this story about a Christian man who got a job as a lumberjack in a place that was renowned for being totally ungodly. And once a friend had heard that this Christian man had been hired for the lumberjack job in this ungodly place, he said to him, do you know what? If those lumberjacks in any way find out that you're a Christian, you are in for a rough ride. They will basically slaughter you in there. They will torture you. They'll persecute you. They will give you a really hard time. And the Christian man said, I know. I've heard about this, but actually I'm so desperate, I need a job. And so off he went as a Christian man to work in that environment. A year later, he was out visiting some of his friends, who asked him, well, how's it been going? Are you getting a hard time because you're a Christian? And he says, you wouldn't believe it. I'm not. Not at all. They haven't given me one bit of trouble because they never found out. As a child of God, you are meant to be a light in the world. So often people just want to fit in. And they'll do anything just to fit in because actually the thought of being a Christian seems so costly. And so they just do what everybody else does. That's not how we as Christians are called to live. You're not meant to blend in. We're supposed to stand out. And that's exactly what's going on in Israel. That's what they're thinking. We'll just blend in. We'll just do what all the other nations did. It was like they didn't want to be the apple of God's eye anymore. They didn't realize actually the favor that they had because they were too busy looking around them thinking, why can't we have what everybody else has? And you know, the same is true in our lives. It's actually possible that we can become blind to the favor of God. And we need to realize this morning afresh that actually being a Christian is a real privilege. It's not easy. It is tough. But it is a privilege that the creator of the universe created us in such a way that he called us to be in a relationship with him. You know, so often people think the grass is always greener on the other side. And actually, the truth is, it is rarely greener on the other side. For the Israelites, they think the grass will be greener if we have this earthly king that we so desire. The grass will be greener if we are under the rule of an earthly king. So their request is this: we want a king. And so they put this request to Samuel. Samuel puts this request to the Lord. And then what we have actually is what we're going to look at next is the answer. Let's have a look at what the Lord said to Samuel in response to these things in verse 9. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. So God is sending out a warning. He warns them that if they choose another king to lead them, there will be serious consequences, and you'll have to live with those consequences. In fact, the Lord lays it out so clearly what sort of king they're going to end up with in verses 10 through to 17. And in that passage, it points out several times not what the new king will provide, but what the new king they want will take away. And when you set that kind of king against King Jesus, then there's a totally drastic difference. So let's have a look at the verses. This is what the Lord said to them. This is what the Lord answered about this new king. Says he will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses. He will assign people to plow his ground and reap his harvest. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and yourselves will become slaves. So the Lord's answer to their request is, if you want all of this and you agree to all of this, then in verse 18, this is what will happen. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from your king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you on that day. You will cry out so much that you want this king, he will take from you, and then you'll not want him. So the Lord is telling the people very clearly, if this is the kind of king that you want to invite to rule over your life, this is what's going to happen. And when it does, you will lose all the privileges that you had, all the favor that you had as God's people. Because here's the reality, folks, you can't enjoy the privileges of God if you serve another king. The Lord was telling them that the type of king that they are looking will be a king that will take, that will take, that will take from you. But the true king, who is King Jesus, will be a king that gives. 2 Thessalonians verses 1 says this in the Message version: our God gives you everything you need. He makes you everything that you're to be. But for the Israelites, they have this idea of what they think they want, what they think they're going to get. And in their mind, they actually have the wrong picture of a king. Think about it like this. I'm not really a massive animal lover, but like on a scale of 1 to 10, that dog is 10 in cuteness. It's lovely. And I was thinking this week, you know when a child thinks that it's a really good idea to have a puppy? They think that it'll be a good idea because it will be fun. They think it'll be a good idea because they're cute. They'll think that having a puppy is a good idea because they can be cool and show it off to all their other friends. So this kid in their mind has an idea of how fun it would be to have a puppy. But then as a parent, you might try to explain to the child that actually, do you know what? It may not be just such a great idea to have a puppy. And here's why. Because actually there are implications. It'll cost money. You have to feed it. You have to walk it. You have to look after it. You have to pay for vet bills. And in fact, it might even restrict you going off on holiday. It needs trained. All of those things. For the child, they can't see the bigger picture. They can't see the big deal. Only the fun in what would have in being and having a puppy. But the parent can see the bigger picture. And the same is true for Israel. They had this picture of what it would be like to have a king. Oh, it would be great to be led by an earthly king. But actually the Father, God the Father, he saw the bigger picture. And he knew that if they chose the wrong king, they were headed towards a path of destruction. Now this morning, I am aware that potentially maybe you've pleaded with the Lord for a long time about something that you think God should give to you. Or maybe you've pleaded with something over a long period of time and you've wondered why God hasn't given you that thing or hasn't answered your prayer or the thing that you've maybe desired. And this morning I just want to remind us all that actually sometimes God withholds things from us for our own good. And in the moment, whilst we can't see the bigger picture of life or our circumstance or our need, actually we have a Father who can see the fuller, the bigger picture. And actually what we're called to do is to trust him. So the Lord's answer to the Israelites, to Israel, is clear. You can have a king that takes you to a place of freedom, or you can have a king that leads you to slavery. Which king do you want? So there's the request, then they have the answer from the Lord, and then it's up to them to make the decision. So what do they decide to do with all this information that they have been informed by Samuel through the Lord? Well, because they don't trust that God's going to provide for them, they don't trust that God's going to come through for them, they say this in verse 19 and 20. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us out and to go before us and to fight our battles. So the Israelites are basically saying, we know what you've said, but actually we don't care. And verse 21, Samuel says this in response. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered to them and said, give them a king. Give them a king. They would rather take the wrong king now than wait on the right king later. And you know, folks, there comes a time in our own lives when we have for far too long been serving the wrong kings. And God says, if that's what you want to rule your life, then go ahead. If that's what you are choosing to rule your life, then go ahead. We see this expressed in the book of Romans, where the Lord hands them over to their sinful desires. For Israel, they decide that they want a king. So God gave Israel the king they think they want, and it doesn't turn out too well. The right king always take you to a place of freedom where your identity is secure in him. The wrong king will take you to a place of captivity, a place of slavery, a place where you are dictated. The question is, which king do you want to serve? The true king has come that we might have life and life in its fullness. Why? Because he is a giver, not a taker. The true king has come in such a way that he laid down his life as a ransom for many. Why? Because he is a giver. The other king that they want will take and take. So in all our lives, we have a decision to make daily as to which king that we serve. A false king or the real king. Do you all know who this is up on the screen? Yeah, Charlie Chaplin? Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know this, but you know, if you do, great. But I find it very funny. Many years ago, Charlie Chaplin entered a lookalike competition. He entered a Charlie Chaplin lookalike competition. And the funniest thing of all was he didn't win. He didn't win. And I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, Charlie Chaplin was right there in front of everybody and they didn't notice. It made me think about Israel and this whole situation. The Lord was right there in front of them and they didn't even notice. Didn't want to listen to him. Didn't want to choose him. And so this morning, I wonder what in our own lives do we need to dethrone in order that we know and recognize and serve the right king? What things maybe have we been serving that have become other gods in our lives instead of the true King Jesus? Or maybe for some of us, what we need to do is actually come in an act of true repentance and ask for forgiveness for turning to other things. Or maybe we've gone off track a little bit, and actually what we need more than anything is just to turn around and head back in the right direction. So this morning, you've heard the request. You heard how the Lord answered them, and you've looked at their decision. And for us this morning, which king is the king on our hearts? How you live your life, how you think, how you act, will come down to which king you serve. So let's pray. This morning, Lord, we thank you that you are a good and gracious God. And we are sorry for those times when we have maybe worshipped other things, put other things in front of you. And this morning I pray that we would decide afresh, anew today and every day to follow King Jesus, the one who leads us to freedom, the one who breaks the chains of sin. And this morning I pray that by your Spirit that you would fall afresh on each of us and help us to know you and to serve the true King, to experience your favor, to experience your grace, and to experience the promise of life eternal because of what you've done on the cross. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.